Yeah, I'm from WEJC in Cleveland. I've been pushing you guys since the first album came out.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I got a hold of it right after it came out and just absolutely loved it. I've been playing it on the air ever since then.
And you're one of the lucky few people who got it.
Yeah, actually, I came upon it in kind of a strange way. There's a record store in Cleveland that gives us 12 albums a month, and we give them, like, some promotion over the air. They kind of sponsor the station. I was just down there picking out some albums, and I saw it sitting there, and I picked it up.
Cool.
We never got it in the mail or anything, and then after the record had came out and I had such a good response over the air and liked the album so much personally, I'd left about 10 messages at Par Records.
Forget that.
Yeah, but I never heard anything back from them, so...
They were very, very, very incompetent in the record company.
And then once Transcendence came out, I had worked with Roadrunner before, doing some stuff for King Diamond and some other people, so then I got a hold of them, and then that's how they got me set up with you guys.
That's cool.
But I'm a really tremendous fan of the band. You guys are probably one of my favorite bands.
Well, I appreciate it very much.
Do you get a lot
of requests for it?
Oh, yeah, especially since Transcendence came out. That album's been really, really popular.
That's great.
Yeah, I had talked to Monty and, what's her name, Kathy at Roadrunner.
Right.
A few months ago. I guess you guys were overseas doing some shows?
Yeah. We were over in Europe doing some shows, some festivals, and a bunch of our own shows. We did a festival with Ozzy.
Who were you touring with mainly over there?
Warlock, Thoreau. Mm-hmm. We did a bunch of German dates at Thoreau. And then we did our own Paris Festival in France. We did a Archok Festival with Queensryche. We did a Dortmund Metal Hammer Festival with Ozzy. And several other bands. All those bands we played with were on that festival.
How long have you been in the band? Are you one of the original members or the founding members?
Yeah, I've been in the band now for 9 years.
How did you guys basically get hooked up with Par Records and get the first record deal?
Basically, you know, where we're from, there ain't nobody here or nothing here. You know, we're definitely far away from the mainstream as far as the rock and roll market is concerned.
Where are you guys from? Florida, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. We're from Bradenton, Sarasota, Florida, which is like just south of Tampa on the west coast of Florida.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a friend that lives in Sarasota.
Yeah, so that's where we're from. It's not really much here, so we ended up getting hooked up with Power Records, who at the time had still just gotten rid of Sabotage. Sabotage was on their label. We figured if Sabotage started with them that we could do it, which was a big, grave mistake on our part. Because it basically they smothered us to death here in the States. They only printed very few amount of copies of the first album out. It's like 4,000 or 5,000. That was it.
Oh really? So kind of luckier than I thought. Then
yeah,
they had a copy
very
of this.
Very few were ever even made.
What happened to the record company? Did they just go under or something?
They folded. Yeah, we ended up signing a deal worldwide with Roadrunner, Road Racer Records to get off the Par. Because they couldn't do anything efficiently for us that we need to get done, you know.
Was that shortly after the first album came out, or?
No, we signed with Par exactly when, the deal we signed with Road Racer didn't happen until a month before our Transcendence album came out. So it was like a 2 year period, basically, that we were on Par, that we never really did anything with them, though. The only thing that we actually accomplished through Par Records is the fact that they licensed our music to Roadrunner in Europe, which we did very well over there. They did a good job of distributing the album out.
Yeah, I'd heard you guys had done really well overseas.
Yeah,
a different
because
places.
The album was available, you know. In the States, it just wasn't available. You can't expect to do good if you don't have an album for sale.
Some cuts I'd like to talk about on the first album. Probably the first one was probably the one that was the most popular off the album, and that's Azrael. That's the track that I had heard on a few metal stations around here, such as Z-Rock and some other stations.
Yeah, it was probably one of the very first songs we ever wrote. It was our first attempt to write some true Crimson Glory music. We had been together for several years before we even started writing, you know, started actually getting heavily into writing originals. We spent the first 4 or 5 years of the band just playing covers and working, toying with original ideas.
Was there any inspiration for that song?
Well, to a certain degree. I mean, it was just, we wanted to use it as the beginning of the song was an idea we came up with, having a guy basically talk about dying, and this, when the semi part starts, it's about this angel of death, you know, it's Azrael. Singing to him or singing to whoever is dying, you know. And some inspiration would be just the fact that we read a lot about, you know, a lot of literature on mythologies, religions, or metaphysics stuff, and the Azrael angel kind of like grabbed our attention.
Yeah, I know that concept kind of runs through a couple songs on that album, such as Valhalla.
Yeah, you get an idea of what we like to read.
Where did you guys record that first album at?
Just recorded in Morrisound Studios in Tampa, Florida, same place Transcendence was recorded.
So you must have been happy with the studio then.
Yeah, you know, it's for Tampa, Florida is an awesome studio. You know, the costs were like we can afford a studio of its caliber, you know.
What kind of touring did you do after that first album was out?
the day the album was released in Europe, we were already on tour in Europe. The day we landed in Europe, the album came out. We had a lot of we don't want to change phones because this phone's terrible.
Okay.
Okay, you there?
Yeah.
Okay, that sounds better.
Yeah, sounds better.
Okay, anyway, the day we landed in Europe, our album was released. So we had a lot of demo tapes, sort of, the first album was sent out. We actually had a demo that we toured ourselves, like $7,000 we paid for ourselves. And it got distributed out through Europe to this guy named Metal Mike, that writes for Archlock Magazine in Holland. And they got all over Europe, so the band got a big underground cult kind of following over there. So by the time the album came out, we were already getting ready to go on tour.
Was there any tunes on that original one that weren't on the first album?
Well, there's Dream Dancer, which got released on the cassette. Dream Dancer got released in Europe on a 12-inch.
Yeah, I've got one of those 12-inches. Kathy sent that to me.
Oh, that's cool. Because, you know, I mean, there's not any of those released in the States at all.
And that has a remix of the song Lonely on it, right?
Yeah, right. It's just a more raw version of it. It's just acoustic at midnight, basically, without any of the string sections or anything. That's how the song was originally written. You know, we kind of, you know, added to it once we got it recorded. So, I mean, we went on tour, and like I said, it was like October 30th. It was like on Halloween we got in Europe. And then we toured for a month, doing a bunch of clubs and stuff in Holland. Then we came back home, went back in February, and we did tours with Anthrax, Metal Church, and Metallica over there. So it wasn't like the band had been together, you know, 6 years prior to recording our first record, but we had never played out live before. We had been together and only used our rehearsal hall, you know, for this first 6 years.
Was it the original band that is on the first album, or was there any changes in, you know, during those six years?
Way back in the very beginning, there was a different singer and a different bass player, and that was it.
How about the song Lost Reflections? That's definitely probably one of the most powerful numbers on the, just as far as gripping numbers.
Right, that was a song that Midnight wrote. No, it was just, I guess it's more of imagination than anything that we used for. It probably reflects his early Pink Floyd, Led Zeppelin influences, if anything. But that was an interesting song. I think Transcendence off the new album is kind of a similar vein. But, you know, he comes up with these little acoustic things, and I get together with him. We add to it a little bit. We add all the guitars to it, so, you know, we can all do a little something within the song.
How long have you been playing guitar?
I've been playing guitar since the beginning of the band. I'd only been playing guitar for half a year when I joined Crimson Glory, so it's been like 9 years.
What were some of your early influences?
Oh, shoot, I guess people like Ole John Roth, you know, the old Scorpions lead guitar player, Michael Schenker, Robin Trower, Randy Rose. I never really got hung up on one guitar player like a lot of guitar players seem to be doing today. A lot of people end up being clones of another guitar player, but I never really got totally involved with just one player. There's just so many different ones I like, so I don't have any one guitar player I like any better than anybody else.
That's one thing I really like about the music, is that your and Ben's guitar playing mixes so well together, and yet both of you are such original guitarists.
Oh, definitely. Well, you know, as far as the guitar playing parts go, I mean, I take care of playing all the lead for the band. You know, Ben is always played rhythm guitar. He's very good at it. You know, it's kind of like the Rudolph Schenker for Crimson Glory. It helps having a good rhythm guitar player.
Was the song Dream Dancer recorded for along with the sessions that produced the other songs for the first album?
Yeah. It was basically, we actually recorded Dream Dancer originally as a demo, in demo days.
And then you just, like, remastered that for the 12-inch?
No, we actually re-recorded the whole thing.
Did you use the same studio that you recorded your first two albums in?
Yep. We did our demo, our first two albums, all in the same studio.
So in Par Records, when the first album was originally released, did they license you guys to Roadrunner? That's how you basically got hooked up with them?
Exactly. Par Records never really did anything for the band except license our music to somebody else in Europe. They were definitely a big failure here for us in the States.
When were the tracks for Transcendence recorded?
Well, they were recorded, you know, over the spring and summer of last year.
Definitely an excellent album.
Well, you know, we definitely wanted to make sure we show people that we can write better music than we ever have.
I think you definitely did a good job there. That album is just, it's absolutely excellent.
Thank you.
How did you come up with the cover for that?
Well, I read an awful lot, and I like reading Omni Magazine, too. And I saw the picture in Omni Magazine. And as soon as I already had the title, I came up with Transcendence, which I wanted to kind of like visually, you know, be a word with a little visual presentation, you know, showing that the band was transcending and evolving into something really special. And I think I needed a picture for the album, and I came across this picture. As soon as I saw the picture, it instantly kind of like fit with the title of the song. And it also fit with some lyrics that we had written for a song called In Dark Places. So that's the verse you find in the back of the album cover. ties in with the front picture.
What is basically the meaning of the back album cover?
Well, the picture in the back of the album cover is a thing called the Hebrew Tree of Life. It's from the Kabbalah, and it's kind of like it's a map of a person's inner self and soul development, like the universe and the way how it ties everything in together. It's part of one, as part of everything being a part of each other.
And what about the phrase at the bottom? What is it? We will strike down the ones who lead us. We are your future. We are forever.
Well, you're one of the few people who figured it out, huh?
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, I put it all together. I just wanted to give something interesting to figure out, because I wanted to put messages. Those are like thoughts of my own personality as far as what I do and what this band to achieve.
Does that tie in with a lot of the lyrics on the record? I mean, is there like a general concept that, you know, flows through some of the songs, maybe in like a vague and direct way?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, it's not like we have a concept going. I think basically what you're seeing is the philosophy of the band, you know, our attitude, and what we actually believe in and, like, want to see ourselves as being.
Is there any other messages on the back there that are kind of hidden?
Well, it's not only really there's any other messages, it's the whole thing, the whole Tree of Life, if you could ever figure out, if you ever get a novel or... Not a novel, but a book that's based on the Kabbalah, the Hebrew Kabbalah Tree of Life. It would definitely enlighten you a lot more on what the band, how we think.
Is that Tree of Life for a specific person, or is that for the band, or
well,
was that developed?
Well, it's my idea to put it there, and I drew it myself from drawings that have, you know, previously been done on it. But it's definitely the philosophy of the band, you know, kind of like how we believe everything relates to each other, and everything is part of one.
What songs on that album stand out as being your personal favorites?
Well, In Dark Places is one of my favorites because I usually don't get too involved writing too many lyrics, but that one particular song, Me and Midnight, wrote the lyrics jointly. It was an idea that I had started myself, and the music itself was also a type of song that I've been wanting to try to convey musically within the band. You know, after listening to the first record, you sit back and you think about how you want to do something different, how you want to take the band and go a little farther. So In Dark Places has got a lot of special meaning to me. I like Transcendence a lot. It's got some really good musical quality to it, lyrics. Burning Bridges was definitely a big challenge. I wrote the music for that song. It was like, I remember taking it to the studio for the first time. The engineer and the producer told me that it was the dog with the most fleas, but it ended up actually being a very dynamic song.
Yeah, definitely. Did you go through a lot of versions of that song before you had, you know, the final one for the record?
Not really. I mean, that's basically how I came down to it. I recorded the whole thing on a 4-track machine first, and that's when I showed it to the band. And then I had these lyrics already written, and we kind of combined the two. But it was definitely, I wanted to get that sound of actually building it up, a real epic and dramatic sound, and keep building up, make it bigger, and have some really special, you know, things happen within the framework of that song.
Were the songs Painted Skies and Lonely written about the same person?
I wouldn't say that. I mean, if anything, you know, I think the songs are just based on regular human emotion. Lonely is written from the point of view of the girl herself. And Pants Guys is written from the point of view of a girl in another way. I mean, they're totally different things, really. But they do play with, you know, on the idea of human emotions playing a major part in your life.
I thought there might have been someone that, you know, might have inspired one or both of those songs.
Well, I'm not really sure. There's been a few people that could have been the reason for it.
You said you didn't write most of the lyrics. Does Midnight do most of that?
Right. I actually spend most of the time writing the majority of the music. Me and Jeff Lord, the bass player in the band, write the majority of the music for the band. Midnight does write the majority of the lyrics, but every now and then I come up with and I'll work with them with Midnight.
Another song which really kind of stands out is Mask of the Red Death.
That was an idea. Midnight wrote all the lyrics for that song. We came up with the idea to use the title and the kind of like... it's an old Edgar Allan Poe short story. It takes place, you know, 100 years before, and we wanted to kind of give it a 20th century feel.
Yeah, I was going to say, it seems like it transcends also into present time.
Exactly. So we wanted to do take something from the past and bring it to transcend into the present time, as we kind of have to do with it. A lot of the songs, I think, you'll find are based around transcendental thoughts and themes. I mean, even Painted Skies can paint a transcendental picture in your mind and, you know, eternal world and Dark Places. I mean, Lady of Winter, I think that was part of the whole philosophy of the band at the time. I think that we were trying to, like, tell people that we are transcending and we are evolving and something really special.
How about the song Red Sharks? That seems to have a really large political influence.
Well, that was an idea I had for, after we came home for the second European tour. We had a lot of time off because we got into a really bad accident down in Miami. We were doing a show and all our equipment got destroyed. So we had a long time. We were laid off here.
What happened there?
Well, we went down to do a show in Miami, and a police officer doing 90 miles an hour ran into a side of our equipment van and destroyed everything. And he killed himself in the process.
Oh, wow.
So So we couldn't really afford to go out and tour anymore. We couldn't get enough money, you know, because basically Transcendence was written entirely on borrowed equipment. So it was a difficult time for us. So we had all the time at home, and at the time there was a lot of media things going on as far as it was communists and a lot of terrorist things. That was a couple of years ago. And the idea for Red Sharks came to my mind, and we kind of like sat down, and I knew how I wanted the music to sound. Jeff and myself wrote all the music for it, and I wrote the lyrics along with our drummer, Dana.
Is there any other songs that you wrote the lyrics for on the record?
I wrote some lyrics for Lady of Winter, along with Midnight, and I wrote some lyrics for Eternal World with Midnight Office.
Do you guys have any, like, an East Coast tour plan lined up for the near future?
Well, we are actually getting ready to go out on tour, I mean, very shortly. We're in the process of actually signing a new recording agreement.
Will that be with Roadrunner?
I'm not at liberty to say right now. I mean, it's definitely a deal we're making with Roadrunner. You know, they're actually in a negotiating deal with people right now, because we definitely want to get the band on the road, and we want to get, you know, make the band as big as possible, get as much support as we can.
Do you have any tour plans with another band yet, or?
Well, we've been talking about doing a headlining tour of our own with the bands Hair Apparent and Dream Theater opening for us. Both of their managers have contacted ours and expressed interest in doing a tour with us. So that could be a good possibility, but at the moment, since this other deal we're working on might be going through, we might be able to do something much larger scale with an opening act for another larger band. Either way would be fine for me, but we definitely plan on spending a couple months here in the States playing.
Yeah, it's definitely time to give the States a large introduction to the band.
Yeah, we would love to do that. I mean, this is our home, but anyway, you know.
Have you guys played any dates in the States besides down in Florida?
Never. It's only been in Florida, so it definitely will be a new experience for ourselves. Not just a fan.
Is Midnight stopping by at all?
I know. Well, actually, he was supposed to be here by now, but he's not here, so he might be tied up, you know, doing something else. So right now, we are working on new originals right now.
Do you plan on releasing another album fairly soon, or?
Well, you know, we actually plan on having the next record available probably by February or March of next year, because we still have a lot of touring to do. We have to go to Japan still, which is going to be slated for October, you know, between October and December sometime.
The first album did really well in Japan, didn't it?
Yeah, it did, and the new album also is doing very well there. You know, the fans over there have taken to like the band very quickly, so we definitely owe it to them to get over there and play some shows.
Yeah, I'd heard that you did some rather extensive touring on the first album in Japan, is that correct?
Well, excuse me, no, we never did touring in Japan.
Oh, you didn't?
I have been there, though, only for like more business purposes. We went over there to do a lot of radio and TV and magazine interviews and photo sessions with magazines because the band had never been over there. But we went over there to set up this tour that we're getting ready to do here in a couple months. We plan on doing 7 or 8 shows in Japan, and we also have a lot of promotional things we're going to be doing over there. There's a lot of video channels they have there, and a lot of extra things they do on the side, you know, for promoting bands.
Do you want to talk about the video that the band did?
Sure. Well, we did the newest video we just did, and the only video Come to Go has ever done has been Lonely. We filmed that in Tampa, Florida, with a relatively unknown producer. I mean, it came out okay. It's not really what the band was hoping for, but, you know, it's the first video, and people can definitely look forward to seeing better ones in the future.
You plan on doing another one off Transcendence?
Yeah.
Do you have any idea what song that's going to be yet? Or?
It could be a choice from a few. It could be Penis Skies or In Dark Places. We haven't really discussed it yet with the record company. There's a lot of room for that to be made up still.
Is that Greek that the Transcendence is written on the back of the album?
Yeah, well, it's actually Coptic. It's very ancient alphabet, probably the oldest, one of the oldest known to man in this part, Egyptian and Hebrew. It's called Coptic.
Where did you come across that? Just in your kind of studies and fascination with that kind of thing?
Yeah, just my regular studies and my readings. You know, like I said, I read a lot of literature on mythology and religion and metaphysics. I mean, that's all I ever read majority of the time.
How did you guys come up with like the makeup and the, you know, the stage presentation?
Well, the band's image was came after the recording of the first record. We thought about how, you know, we wanted to present the idea to the public. We wanted to have a visual extension of the band's music, because we thought we did have a mystical sound to the band. We wanted to capture that visually, and we thought that we could be more than anything. We could set ourselves apart even more so from the rest of the bands in the world, because at the time, you know, and still, there's still hundreds of bands coming out every day. We want to be as different as possible from the rest. So the mask idea came about, and with that mask idea, we helped create the mystique on an aura around the band.
Then that's kind of transcended again, you know, into the present way that the band
is. Right, it originated in the beginning with a full facial mask, but like all things, you know, an idea has to have a beginning and it has to evolve, and we decided to remove part of the mask so we can bring back a little more of the human element. We thought we were hiding just too much.
Was the album produced a lot by the band? I know that you co-produced Transcendence.
Right. You know, we definitely remain heavily involved within the recording process of our album. I mean, I think we definitely have a good grasp of what we like and what we don't like, and we want to convey that, you know, using our own knowledge in studio too, along with the engineer, producer, whoever's helping us. And I spend a lot of time doing it myself too. I mean, hopefully in the future I will be able to attempt becoming a producer myself, because I definitely enjoy the recording process.
How many tracks was that recorded on?
It's just a 24 track, which is definitely a feat within itself. You can imagine all the amount of guitar tracks I put down myself and the vocal tracks we put down. So it's definitely a challenge.
How did you guys get hooked up with Jim and Tom Morris? I know they had a lot to do with the production and recording process of Transcendence also.
Of course. Well, it's just the fact that, you know, they're right here in their own backyard in Tampa, Florida. And we're lucky to have people that are as knowledgeable as they are in the recording industry right here in our own hometown, basically.
Did they help you guys out any with the first album?
Oh, they definitely helped out a lot. I mean, just to have somebody's knowledge, like, I think Jim Morris is an incredible engineer. He knows how to get, you know, really good sounds and capture the sound that you're looking for. It helps having an engineer of that quality in the studio. Mm-hmm. Makes a world of difference.
Can I get some IDs from you for the station?
Sure. Hi, it's John Drennan from Crimson Glory, and you're listening to Metamorphosis with Joe Cleon on WUJC Cleveland 88.7.
Okay, was there another idea that you had there?
I guess I can do another one. You want me to do another one?
Sure.
Hi, it's John Drennan from Crimson Glory. Transcend with Joe Cleon on the Metamorphosis on WUJC Cleveland 88.7.
Thanks for your time. It was a real pleasure talking to you.
All right, Joe. I really appreciate all the effort you're doing getting us up in Cleveland, though.
No problem. I really believe in the band. You guys are just excellent. I mean, Transcendence hasn't left my tape deck since the album came out.
Oh, yeah. You're not tired of it yet, huh?
Oh, no. Hell no. I don't think I could ever get tired of something that's
I hope not.
As good as that.
Well, you know, we try to give on albums worth material, not just a bunch of filler. And I hate that when you buy a record and you only like two or three songs on the whole album.
Well, there's a lot of those out there, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, when we put our records together, we definitely intend on having 10 great songs.